Morning. Good morning. The first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of the year, we always emphasize, The first Sunday of the year, we always emphasize reading God's word for yourself. The second Sunday of the year, we share one aspect of the vision for Northwest Community Church. And I'll get to that in just a minute. So in a few moments when I start the sermon, this will be one aspect of the mission statement of Northwest Church, just a part of it. Not the whole thing. But before I do that, I did want to pause specifically, and I know we just had our pastoral prayer, but I wanted to take sort of an additional moment, a special moment, to remember Sona Lopez. Sona was a part of our church for a number of years, a very vibrant part, a very lively part. And she could walk into a room, and it's like somebody found some additional light switches, and the room would just light up. And she passed away this last week. And we emailed the funeral arrangements to everybody. If you're not on our email list, whether you're watching online or here now, and you would like to, we send out an email every week. And it gives you an update of what's going on in Northwest Church. And then when there are unique situations, such as a death of someone in the church, we send out an email as well to make sure everybody knows. So this Thursday at noon, we will have a visitation here at the church starting at 12 noon. And the funeral service will be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then following the funeral service, there will continue to be visitation until 8 p.m. Now, when I sent out the email last week, it said 6 p.m. That's because it changed, and now it's 8 p.m. to give people who have to work more time. And I just wanted to start off by having a moment of prayer for Jasmine and Sophie and Eddie and for the whole family. So let's pray. Well, Father, in a very real sense, our hearts are heavy because we love and we miss Sona. We've missed her since she moved to Green Bay, and we're blessed to be able to see her from time to time when she would come back and visit Chicago. And now we know it's going to be a while before we get to see her again. And we're saddened and we're grieving. So we pray especially for Eddie and Jasmine and Sophie and the rest of the family that you would walk with them, that they would feel your presence and be drawn to you, the Savior, whom Sona loved so much. And we pray your grace for all of us, that all of us feel your grace and presence. And especially that you would be with us Thursday and Friday. Draw us to you, because we know that Sona is with you now. And it will be a joy when we get to heaven. First of all, most of all, to see you, our Lord, our Savior, our King. But also to see loved ones that have gone on before us. And to see Sona. And we pray all of this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our theme verse for 2024 is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. And that verse says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God has Northwest Church here for a reason. He has you here for a reason. He wants us to be a light in this neighborhood to show people the way to Jesus. He wants you to be a light in this neighborhood to show people the way to Jesus. And one of the ways we do that is by serving others, by serving them, by seeking what is best for them. We are to seek the peace and prosperity of Belmont Cragin. Now, the last couple of years, we have taken 1 Peter 3:15 as our theme verse. I still encourage you to live that verse. Okay? We're not going to forget 1 Peter 3:15. We're to be living that all the time. Last week, we gave you a handout in your worship bulletin called Bless, B-L-E-S-S. If you didn't get one, there's some copies in the lobby. Don't stop living those principles. And one of those principles is looking for ways to serve others. So our theme verse for 2024 develops that idea further. Jeremiah was a prophet of God who lived during the last five kings of Judah. So here is a partial history, partial outline of Old Testament history. You see the kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon. I know that's small print, I apologize. If you want a copy of this, by the way, see me after the service. I have some. And we handed them out a few months ago, too, during our sermon series through the Old Testament, so you may still have it. But anyway, you see the kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon, and then the kingdom is divided. And you have the northern kingdom of Israel. Both kingdoms commit serious sins, by the way. But the northern kingdom of Israel was the worst. So they were conquered by Assyria in 721 BC. The southern kingdom of Judah, it lasted longer, but eventually God allowed them to be conquered and taken captive by Babylon. Jeremiah, the prophet, Jeremiah lived through a very difficult part of Israel's history. He began his prophetic ministry in the time of King Josiah, right here. And he prophesied through five different kings. And he also, by the way, the kings after Josiah wouldn't listen. Josiah was a really good king. But after him, the other four kings would not listen. And so in 586 BC, the captivity of Israel was complete, and Judah was taken captive. And this is the 70 years of captivity. The nation had sinned against God over and over and over in many different ways. God had sent prophet after prophet to warn them. Now, there were false prophets in Jeremiah's day, just as there are false prophets today. Before the captivity, And while Jerusalem was under siege, the false prophets of Jeremiah's day were saying, God will deliver us. Jeremiah was telling them the opposite, that they would be overthrown and taken captive. Now, he was persecuted for that truth, and we'll learn more about that in a few weeks. In at least two weeks, I'm going to start a sermon series through the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, and I think you're going to find it very interesting. But anyway, today we're looking at chapter 29, and chapter 29 takes place after the prophecies of Jeremiah had come true. And once they were taken captive, so the captivity happens, the captivity happens, and the way that ended up working out is Jerusalem was under siege. They had conquered the rest of the nation. As they would conquer areas, they would deport all of the leaders, all of the people of means, and they left poor people to tend the land, to farm the land. And they deported all of those leaders and people of means to Babylon. And then Jerusalem fell. And they did the same thing there. They took all the officials, all the people of means, all the wealth, they took it all to Babylon. And after that had happened, there were still prophets saying, well, this isn't going to last long. So Jeremiah, in fact, some of them prophesied that God would take them back within 2 years. But Jeremiah was telling them that the captivity would last 70 years. And chapter 29 includes a letter from Jeremiah, because he was still back at Jerusalem, includes a letter from Jeremiah instructing the people how to live during difficult times, how to live during captivity, how to live in a time where the culture around them is hostile to their faith. And this is very relevant for us today. So if you remember in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus told us to love our enemies and pray for them. This is the same concept. Remember that biblical love wants what is best for the other person, even if it hurts, even if it costs you. So let's read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. This is the letter that Jeremiah wrote. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay, it's verse 4. So the exile, excuse me just a moment. I promise you, my cough really is getting better. Every week it's just a little bit better. So by summer, I'll be okay. So the captivity has begun, and Jeremiah is writing the people in captivity, telling them what God says for them to do. Okay, verses 5 and 6. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Increase in number there and do not decrease. So God is telling them to be good citizens, to make a life, to be productive. So build houses and plant gardens. Be productive. Make a living. Have some ambition. Do the best you can with what you have wherever you are. And they're to have families. None of this doomsday stuff. Oh, the end is near. It's over. I might as well curl up and die. No. Instead, look to the future. Don't sit around and whine and complain about being in captivity. Do the best you can with what you have wherever you are. And by the way, if you want an example of that, go back to Genesis chapter 37 and the following chapters and read the story of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. He did the best he could with what he had. You really need to go back and read that if you're not familiar with that story. So listen to what Christian author Warren Wiersbe says. This is a long quote. I'll let you know when it's over. He says, "The exiles had lost everything but their lives and what few possessions they could carry with them to Babylon. They'd lost their freedom and were now captives. They'd been taken from their homes, had lost their means of making a living. They were separated from relatives and friends, some of whom were killed during the defeat of Jerusalem, and others who may have perished in the long march from Jerusalem to Babylon. No matter how they looked at it, the situation seemed hopeless. How should we handle such a depressing situation? Accept it from the hand of God and let God have his way. It does no good to hang our harps on the willow trees and sit around weeping as though this may be, although this may be a temporal, normal reaction to tragedy. One of the first steps in turning tragedy into triumph is to accept the situation courageously, put ourselves into the hands of a loving God who makes no mistakes." Now, that's a great quote and great advice, and I would add, and make the best of what you've got where you're at. And by the way, this is a little aside here. In both the Old and New Testaments, believers are not to marry outside of the faith. So when verse 5 tells them to marry and have their children, that does not mean they're to marry unbelievers. It means that instead of thinking it's over, that there's no future, that we might as well sit here and die, they're to realize that there is a future and they are to live like it. So among believers, continue to marry and have children. Make a life. Look and live for the future blessings of God. And then verse 7. And there we go. "Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." We are to actively seek what is good for our city. What is a blessing to our city? What is a blessing to our neighbors? And yes, even what is a blessing to those who are hostile to us? Now, there's a word used in this verse that is very powerful. It is the Hebrew word shalom. In the English in this verse, it is translated with two words, peace and prosperity. In the Spanish, it is translated as bienestar, and that means the well-being or the welfare of the city. Shalom means all of those things and so much more. It means success. It means health, completeness, safety, tranquility, friendliness, to be cared for. And when we speak shalom to other people, it means wanting what is best for the other person. Now, they were to seek this shalom for the city to which God had carried them into exile. Do you understand what that is saying? God had placed them in a place that was not friendly to their faith. He put them there intentionally. Now, part of it was as a punishment for the sins of the nation. But while they were there, God had plans for them while they were there. And that plan was for God to use them to seek the shalom of Babylon. That's what it says. And God has us here to seek the shalom of Belcragen, to seek the shalom of our neighbors. Verses 8 and 9. Yes, this is what the Lord God, Lord Almighty, the God of Israel says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Don't listen to false prophets. Don't listen to those who are negative and complaining all the time. Don't listen to those who say, it's over. We're defeated. We might as well curl up and die. And one of my favorite cartoon characters is Eeyore. If you're familiar with Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2 and all the rest of the Winnie the Pooh gang, one of them is Eeyore. I have a coffee mug my daughter gave me years ago in my office, and it's a takeoff on the line that Eeyore says in one of the cartoons. He's a donkey, and he's looking at his tail one day, and he says, it's not much of a tail, but I'm kind of attached to it. Eeyore is the kind of guy that always sees the bad side of things, the negative side, the problems. Sort of like those who say we're defeated, we're doomed. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. Always compare what you hear, what the culture around us is saying. Always compare it with the Word of God. And listen to God, not them. Don't let others drag you down. Instead, you live and serve intentionally, and you pull others up. Manage your life for God's purposes, not your own. And as you obey God in serving others, you'll have God's blessing. But that may not mean what you think it means. Look at the second half of verse 7. If the city prospers, you will prosper. Anyone want to guess what the Hebrew word is that is used for prosper in the second part of this verse? I'll give you a hint. So prosper, okay, bienestar in the Spanish here. It's the same word that's used up here. Peace and prosper, bienestar, it's shalom. So here's another way to read verse 7. Seek the shalom of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray the Lord for it, because if it has shalom, you too will have shalom. You will have His approval. See, serving others pleases God, and you will have God's shalom. And as you work for the shalom of those around you, the benefit of that shalom on them extends to you. A byproduct of being a blessing to others is that you are also blessed. And God is telling us the same thing today that Jeremiah told the Jewish people during their captivity. So we are looking for ways to serve our community, service projects and other ways to meet needs in Belcragen, opportunities to make a difference, to bring shalom to Belcragen. Now, not everyone can do everything. So understand how a church works. We need people to be here for various times and various reasons. By the way, we should all be here for corporate worship on Sundays. But through the week, we can use people here for different things. We need people to serve. We really could use more people on our snow shoveling team. The problem with our snow shoveling team is that we've used school-aged kids and teens, and they grow up and go off to college and get married and do other stuff. So we need to replenish the ranks here. Now, not everyone can do that. As we find opportunities to serve our neighborhood, we need people to show up and help. Again, not everyone can be here all the time. But I do challenge you to be willing to sacrifice time to serve others. And I don't talk about this often, but we need people to give financially so the church has the resources to be able to serve the community. We currently partner with a secular agency to offer citizenship classes here in our building. A very practical way to serve people in our community. And we don't charge rent for the class to meet. It costs us extra in utilities. So those who are supporting Northwest financially are helping us to be able to offer these classes. Last week we hosted a property tax appeal event here in cooperation with our alderman's office. We don't charge them to use our space. So when we receive our worship offering and you give, you're serving our community. And we need strong support to be able to serve Belcragen, to seek the shalom of our neighborhood. We also need people to pray for our community. And I'm serious about this. Prayer is huge. Pray for Northwest Church. Pray for opportunities so that we can serve our neighbors. And that by serving them, we can point them to Jesus. And pray for those that we serve, that they will see Jesus in us and be drawn to him. And it takes all the parts of the body of Christ doing their part for us to be faithful and successful in serving Belcragen. You know, yesterday I went out, and the church owns the little plow on that blazer out there, and I went out and plowed the lot, shoveled some on the sidewalk, did a bunch of stuff around here, and I'm telling you the truth, I did not cough once. By the way, I also shoveled at our house, and Friday I did the same thing, and did not cough once the whole time. What's the deal with that? Maybe I need to preach a sermon while I'm shoveling. Maybe that's a... So anyway, we need all the parts of the body of Christ doing their part for us to be faithful and successful in serving Belcragen. Serving takes work. It takes sacrifice. But we have the greatest example of that in the history of the world. Jesus Christ. Do you know what the mission statement of Jesus is? It's found in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the example we're to follow. We're to realize that God has placed us here to serve others. Indeed, to live our lives for others, to give our lives for others. Now, we don't do that by dying on the cross, We do that by giving of ourselves, our time, our resources, our prayers, giving ourselves for the benefit of others, for their well-being, for their prosperity. And by the way, when I say prosperity, I don't necessarily mean, the Bible does not necessarily mean financial prosperity. It's just talking about a wholesomeness of life, a flourishing. I'm not rich. Man, I enjoy life. I'm living okay. God's taking care of me. I'm happy. We should desire that for others, for their shalom. Now, you might say, because sometimes people are hesitant, right? Does God really want me to sacrifice time? Because it'll change our schedules. You might not be able to watch your favorite TV show. May need to go be with someone, go do something for someone. Be here to serve when we have certain things going on. And people are like, I don't know. Does God really want me to do that? If God would just give me a sign that I'm supposed to sacrifice for Belcragen. Well, today, I'm your sign. And just in case you can't see the screen, here's your sign. And I really do mean this because the Bible really means it. But seriously, here's your sign. And this is the Word of God. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to it. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And I'll tell you what I often see. This is going to be a little strong. I love you guys. Nobody can be mad at me, right? I see a lot of pain and hurt in our neighborhoods, in my neighbors. A lot of dysfunction, to be honest. A lot of poor decisions, a lot of sin. And that messes up lives. And I often see as people come to faith in Christ and they start living biblical principles, they start living with the right motives for Him and the right motives for others, that oftentimes their situation in life improves. And I see people thinking, well, now that I have the means, I need to get out of the city. When Jeremiah told the people, pray for this city to which I have carried you into exile. That applies to us. Pray for this city where God has placed us. We're here for a reason. We started with this concept. This church started in 1991. And it started with the same principles. Count it up, that's almost 33 years ago. And we're not quitting. And we're not leaving. We're not going to relocate the whole church to the suburbs. I actually know churches that have done that. I really do. I can show you a couple. God has led us here, and here we stay. So if you haven't, commit your life to Christ today, because that's where it starts. You need to be following Him yourself before you worry about leading others to follow Him. I find it interesting. You can obviously tell. I know I joke about this every time, but I think it's funny, and I'm an old dad and grandpa, and dad jokes are funny to me. So But obviously you can tell I go to a health club and work out. And word lately has started to spread that I'm a pastor. I don't lead with that when I go into secular situations. I don't walk in like, I'm a pastor, show me respect. No, I don't do that. I worked out there for over a year before that came out. The way it came out is when I had developed friendships with some guys and started sharing my faith and started sharing my church and inviting them. And I find it interesting that some of the guys that are living pretty far from God actually invite more people to my church than I do. It's a fascinating thing. They're not very effective at it. You can tell there's nobody here this morning, so what can I say? I mean, there's people here, but no one that I've invited or they've invited. But you really need to be a follower of Christ yourself. And then you reach out to others. And you want to share God's shalom with them. There's a peace that is difficult for us to understand apart from Christ. But when you commit your life to Christ, He gives you a peace that is beyond human comprehension because it's from Him. So commit your life to Christ. And all of us will work together to bring glory to Christ. We will seek the prosperity of Belmont Cragin. Let's pray. Father, we all have responsibilities. Many of us, many people here have jobs, families, children, things to take care of. Some may own a business. And it's just not convenient to live what we just read from Jeremiah. And Father, I don't ever want anyone here to have a guilt complex, to feel guilty like, oh no, I don't do this or don't do that. Because I understand not everyone can do everything. Not everyone can be everywhere. And I'm very blessed as a pastor to be paid to be here and to serve. Help me to do that better. But at the same time, the people in Jeremiah's day, they built houses, they had families, they planted gardens, they had lives. They were in a very difficult situation. They were doing the best they could with what they had. And yet, even in those circumstances, God told them, seek the shalom of the city where I've carried you. So help us to balance things well. Help us to live our lives intentionally, building space and time into our lives to be able to serve others. Not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. Challenge us, each of us as individuals and us as a church, to do the something that we can do and seek the shalom of Belcragin. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.